It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at
I've been red pilling on a certain film franchise recently.
What have you been red pilling on?
Yeah, dude, I'm red pilled on Harry Potter. I'm back around to the other way.
You're like, I actually think Harry Potter is based.
I think Harry Potter is based now.
Yeah,
I think about it.
I saw your post about it, and I was like, you're right. The kids band together to overthrow.
Especially the Order of the Phoenix. The Order of the Phoenix is, I think, the most obvious like right wing piece of art in the whole thing.
Yeah.
The rest of it, take it or leave it, but. That movie is like you have the oppressive government taking over the education of children and the students in secret band together and learn how to shoot each other.
And in any
other context, this would be like a dangerous, I can't believe we're teaching children to gather at night with weapons and fight against the government. Like... Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that inverts the yield curve. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. What's the yield curve?
You ever been to the Treasury?
I've been to a mint.
They have a big... The Treasury has a big curve. And if you right-click it and click flip horizontal, it crashes the economy. And they only give the mouse to one guy. And so it's a very dangerous business.
And his name is Joe Biden.
His name is Jerome Powell. He's up there every week doing stuff.
So we were talking. Is this the bonus podcast, by the way?
No, this is the main show. We're doing the main podcast.
I was so ready to let
you were
loose
bonus potted?
Talk about my opinions about...
About what? Oh, about stuff.
No, nothing.
Well, we need to do a main pod because I ended up not recording with Jeff on Wednesday morning.
Oh, really?
Yes, I also had issues with my child, so
okay.
It's.
But he was cool with us canceling.
Oh, yeah. Jeff is probably the coolest guy.
He's probably the coolest guy, and also guys that are at Jeff's level, when they have something open up, they're like, "I'm gonna crush a million things."
Yeah, or they're like, I'm going to spend more time with my family, which is probably what he's
going to
do.
Well, it was the middle of the day.
It was at 7 a.m.
For a guy like Jeff, that's the middle. Guy wakes up
My day starts at 6 a.m. Boom. He's changed and reorganized time.
3 days? I'm ahead of you. Five days? You're never catching up. You're dead. I love it.
You're still sleeping in caves like they did 300 years ago.
Welcome to The Crunch. The Crunch is a podcast where Ethan and I have a conversation about a topic of the faith. We think more people should have conversations like this one, so we're happy you're here. Sorry to interrupt it. I thought this is the bonus podcast. Patreon.
I think we should have more conversations like this. I feel like you and me have not been having conversations like this and recording them and uploading them in nigh upon three weeks now.
I mean, that's mostly because I had a baby.
Yes.
That's the main reason.
Yes. Yes, you got split open by a doctor and your child was extracted out of you. How did it feel?
I need to tell the birth story.
You need to tell the story. It's actually crazy. Most birth stories, boring, honk, shoe, me. But this one, I think, is legitimate.
You're saying that you went into labor and then pushed for multiple hours? Couldn't be us. I'm serious. Dude. Guys, Phoebe pushed for 7 minutes. We were
insane.
In two pushes, Josie was out. We were in the hospital. We were in the hospital room for 13 minutes total. We were at the hospital for a half an hour before Josie was born. We left my house 45 minutes before Josie was born. Oh my gosh. That was crazy.
It's amazing.
I was like, I was so excited. I was like, man, that's great. Kids here. Let's get to the fun part. Because then 9 hours was really quick. My friend made fun of me for saying this, but I was like, I was tired. I was not ready for, and I'm sure she was too, But I was like, I'm a short labor, short pain, not pain free, but short, like quick labor.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Phoebe killed it. It was impressive.
Did you have to stay a night, or did you get in and out without having to spend a night?
It was night, and so we had to spend a night, but we didn't have to spend another night.
Did you get there after midnight?
No.
Oh, so they charge you for the day.
Is that how that works?
That is how that works. You get there after midnight, then it's just the it's just the one day. So
No.
Because fundamentally it's a scam. What you should really do is you should have your baby on the sidewalk and then stumble in and be like, "All right, I need help now." You know?
Yeah, sorry. Cause I looked at them, I was like, "Hey, it was my one joke that I made." I try not to make jokes in
no.
the room.
Don't make jokes in the delivery.
It's very important, but I couldn't help myself because Josie was there. It was so quick, and so I looked at all the staff. It was a bunch of people.
They all swarmed the room.
It was like 13 minutes. I was like, "You guys charge by the hour, right?
We can nice.
I'll even let you round it up to the 15 minutes. Call it a day. What's the bill here? 90. I was like, Phoebe, they didn't even admit us. We had signed no paperwork. I was like, Phoebe, we could just leave. We could just leave.
They don't know our names.
They get that tag on.
Yeah, they do. They move quick.
They get that tag on quick. They're like, they're not messing with it. They don't want to lose another one. They put the tag. They put a tag on the baby.
What do you mean they got him? What do you mean they lost one? I think part of the reason that birth is so hard for me is because of that very fact, because I'm in a room for hours and I can't make jokes. I'm stuck there.
It's a very...
People don't talk about how hard it is for men to give birth.
Well, I hear griping occasionally from women of an older generation of like, wow, they used to not let, or maybe not griping, but women of my wife and my grandmother had a conversation about birth, and it was so different. I think I've talked about this on the podcast. They were like, yeah, my husband waited outside, and they had me breathe gas. They put me to sleep, and I woke up, and there was a baby. And I was like, now it's a whole production with, like, you got to do classes together.
Right.
And it's a very husband and wife experience, birth is. Yeah. And yet, with... Phoebe was really close with her OB-GYN and her midwife and her doula. And so all three of them were like working together as a team. Like they were, they pushed the baby out in 7 minutes. I don't think that was an accident. They prepared for this. All three of them. And I felt like an outsider in this.
Yes, you are.
It's a uterus,
no opinion.
It's a very feminine space. Like everybody in the room was a woman besides me. And I think that's good. I'm a fan of that. But I did feel like very external. And my job was simply to hold Phoebe's hand and tell her she was doing a good job. And that's what I did. And then I got to hold my daughter and cut the cord. I got to do that too.
You cut the cord?
She was like, "Hey," they were like, "Dad, are you cutting the cord?" I was like, "Oh shoot. Yeah. My only other job."
Yes. I could never do it. The NFL is too much on Sundays. I could never cut the cord.
Nice. Football. They have it on YouTube now. You can do YouTube.
Did you listen to my podcast about football that I did last week?
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't listen, man.
Nah, I didn't. I'm sorry, man. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
What, tell me about it.
Oh, I just talked about K-State football. It was good.
Oh, sweet.
Was really good. Good story.
I'm sure that was great content for our Catholic podcast audience.
No, I tied it in. I tied it in.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Don't think that I would go. It was kind of like if I was ever to give a men's talk, you know, it would be what
days.
I would do. Yeah. I also, I talked about a lot of things. So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
When you were on paternity leave and you and Phoebe were hanging out, did you think about me? Did you talk about me? Did you miss me?
Well, yeah, we talked about you earlier when I'm still technically on paternity leave, by the way. I know that.
No, I don't care about your real job. I care about this job.
it was more cut and dry last time because it was like, I'm gone for 2 weeks and I record at my office, so I'm not recording.
We also only recorded one episode a week last time.
Yes. That is true. And so I was like, I got to get back in the studio. But I did not. We didn't talk much. We did. Actually, no, we totally did talk about you guys. Hold on. You guys came up.
Really?
Oh, you guys came up because I think Emma is one of the only people in Phoebe's life who shares a lot of the same opinions about birth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Does that mean that Phoebe's friends are... She doesn't have like-minded women surrounding her at telling the nurse to shut off the Pitocin.
Yeah, I think most of it's not like it's very much younger. It's because some people are very like natural birth is a weird thing because people get really touchy about it.
Oh, very touchy, very touchy.
It's a very touchy thing. But it's not that Phoebe's friends are against natural birth. It's that I don't think any of them would do it, and that's fine.
Oh, so her friends are scared. They're a scaredy babies.
Oh, man.
I would never say that to a woman's face. I'm actually quite terrified of women in real life.
And on the internet, actually. I make sure not to make them mad, because they could just ruin your day.
They do. I think I've insulated my ex, the Everything Account app, from women by just posting coal about politics. None of them care about me anymore, which is really nice. Really nice. I don't mean all women. I just mean the ones that had the tendency to cancel me back in the day. That's who I'm talking about.
I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Phoebe. Do you remember when I crapped myself the first day I did Exodus 90?
I will never forget that.
So, hi, my name is Patrick Devy. I did Exodus 90 a couple of years ago, and I did poop my pants on the first day because I fasted and drank too much coffee. But did you know that Exodus 90 is not just about fasting and cold showers before Easter? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more.
So they do a little thing called St. Michael's Lent that you can actually go sign up for now if you are a man and you're interested in getting yourself ready for Advent, getting yourself ready for Christmas. You can download their app and you can actually get their they have daily scripture meditations, prayers, reflections on getting closer to God as a man. They also have a new course on the Eucharist just in time. For now that we're after the Eucharistic revival, we can, you know, get closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can let them know that we sent you, and you can enjoy the beautiful prayers and courses they have available on there right now. It's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
So everything's going good. Family's okay. She's a great baby. What is she doing? Is she rolling over, applying to college? What's she doing?
She is pooping. She's mm-hmm. sleeping.
Yeah.
And she's eating. That's basically it.
She got a good bowel going? Is she having any dietary distress?
None.
She's eating well?
Yep.
Getting right up there on that.
Oh, yeah. Leo is killing it as a big brother. He loves it. Good. He wakes up every morning and goes, baby? Baby. Nice. And then I say, yeah, let's go see the baby. And then he goes, robots?
And he wants to watch robots.
He wants to watch robots, yeah.
You watch robots with him every day?
I did this past. Well, he was sick with a fever, so we just let him do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I watched robots, but today he didn't have a fever. And so when he said robots, I said no. And he cried. No. He was very upset. He was like, but it's every day.
But it's every
robots
day,
every day.
It's every day, bro.
I was like, you do know it's the same movie every time, bud. And he was like, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's robots.
He goes, fun.
You could have picked a better film.
Dude, I disagree with you. I don't think he could have.
Robots
is
a good
movie.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's the last American movie? What does that mean? On what? Grounds.
It's the last truly American. The kid from the small town goes to the big city.
Yeah,
faces adversity.
There's no more movies like that.
You can shine no matter what you're made of.
This is now the plot of Doom.
Now all the movies are you can shine if you're gay. That's the plot of every movie now.
You shine like because men. You're gay.
You shine because you like men. Because you can't make robots anymore because of woke.
Because of woke. You couldn't do it.
Can't do it anymore.
You couldn't do it.
But I think Robots is a great movie, a great film to show your children. Yeah. It teaches them about how they need to, if they see a need, they need to fill a need through business and enterprise.
Yes.
Oh, baby.
That is very, 1950s coded,
Well, the
people
the
that would go to the moon.
The movie is very 1950s coded, yeah.
Yeah. I had a, I've been red pilling on a certain film franchise recently.
What have you been red pilling on?
Yeah, dude, I'm red pilled on Harry Potter. I'm back around the other way.
You're like, I actually think Harry Potter is based.
I think Harry Potter is based now.
Yeah,
I saw
your post about it and I was like, you're right. The kids band together to overthrow.
Especially the Order of the Phoenix. The Order of the Phoenix is, I think, the most obvious like right wing piece of art in the whole thing. Yeah. The rest of it, take it or leave it, but that movie is like you have the oppressive government taking over the education of children and the students in secret band together and learn how to shoot each other. Any other context, this would be like a dangerous, I can't believe we're teaching children to gather at night with weapons and fight against the government.
Dude,
like,
in that movie, the two Weasley twins drop out of school.
They do. They drop out of school.
A business.
They actually, if you think about it, they kind of shoot up the testing hall. Granted, with fireworks, but
yeah, and magic. But yeah.
But imagine telling someone like, "Yeah, my favorite movie is this movie where all these kids train with guns, and at the end of the movie, one of the climactic scenes is these two brothers, instead of taking their tests, they blow up the hall where That's all the cool. other students are taking tests, and then they leave to go start a joke business."
I think it's because when the millennials were reading Harry Potter, they wanted so badly to be the rebels. And it's like that. It's that scene from The Simpsons where it's the video camera and they're filming like a guy. It's the camera crew is filming a guy graffiti obey the rules on the wall.
Right. Yes.
That's what millennial movies were all about. It was like, it's good to rebel and you're the rebellious ones and we got to overtake the, but the people that are clapping down on educational institutions and forcing them to speak and act a certain way is not the right wing. At least not anymore. Maybe it was in the past, but that'll change. It'll flip.
It
back
will.
And forth.
It's,
and then
it's
Harry Potter will be cringe again, but there's a reason why there's no, there's no Harry Potter imagery against Trump now,
right?
Because
it doesn't fit, it feels wrong. It's Kamala is very clearly Umbridge, and so if you bring up that Trump is Voldemort, it's like, well, I'd actually kind of rather have, at least Voldemort was an efficient leader. He gathered people around
him. He got
him.
The trains on time. He got the trains to run on time. I tell you what,
say what you want about Voldemort, but he was a great orator.
There's like a word you can't say, like that
yes,
thing too. Like
that's the other thing.
There's a certain language you can't use, and Harry Potter's like, I don't care, Harry could say it.
I mean, I'm also thinking about like the fourth movie where it's just like, okay, we're going to have this international challenge of all of the different wizarding schools, and we're just going to pick the four hottest and most talented wizards that we can find. Just like the absolute Chad Russian guy, the Chad British guy, the beautiful French girl, and then the chosen boy who is a prodigy at everything. And these are going to be your competitors in this challenge, and everyone's going to have to care about them. It's like, well, that's kind of aesthetics pilled in a certain sense.
I hear you. Background on Harry Potter. Let's do it.
I'm back around. I have to show you. I did make a purchase
corresponding to this.
Yeah.
Can I show you?
Yes.
You're going to like this. I just picked it up the other day.
It's a television.
I bought a TV.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you. I got to go put it down. there's a 43-inch flat screen
that I got from Best Buy for $247. Thank you very much.
TVs are not expensive. It's crazy.
TCL, the official partner of the NFL, which I think they just did that because they have the same number of letters in the name. But I wanted to have a TV for football season because a lot of college football games are during the day and we have a projector, and that was the only way. And it just was really hard to watch. Like, if we wanted to have people over, I got out of breath from carrying that TV. If we wanted to have people over, we had to set up the projector downstairs and black out all the windows. And even then, it was still too bright downstairs to see the game. And so we were like, let's just buy a TV.
Let's just get a TV.
It's easier. So right now it stays in my closet, but we're going to bust it out this weekend. I'm very excited.
That's the proper way. The proper way to own a TV, I think, is to make it so cumbersome and out of place to set up. It can only be brought out for special occasions. I think that's the way you got to do it.
Like how they did it in elementary school. It's like,
yeah,
the teachers didn't want to teach. They would rather play Bill Nye, but the cart was all the way at the other end of the school, and you got to go get it. It weighs 500 pounds.
Check it out.
You got to clean the VCR. It's just a lot of work. You know.
Yeah, no, I get it. But yeah, no, I like robots. I like Harry Potter. I had another point about Harry Potter to make. What was it?
Horcrux. Harry, Ron, Hermione, Snape.
Oh yeah, I think that Harry Potter is like it or hate it. It's getting to the point where it just is. It is part of the Western canon, unfortunately.
That can't be right.
Yeah, if the New York Times bestseller list was real and not adjusted, Harry Potter would be at the top forever. There's three full shelves. There's an entire aisle, I think, dedicated to it in every Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. It's just like, it's the most popular franchise of all time. And so it's like, it's part of the Western canon. Like, it's gonna be in a great book series in 200 years. That's just the, and so like it or leave, like love it or hate it. There's parts of it that are gonna be, there's parts of it that are cringe and there's parts of it that are awesome. One of the cringe things is the sorting yourself into a house. I think that's really cringe.
That is cringe.
The cool thing is it be like, you know, having some kind of mythology in it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's certainly, I mean, there's things I hate that. The most lazy criticism to me is like, oh, she named the Asian girl Cho Chang. But then all the Asians come around and they're like, that's literally, I'm named that. You know? Like, that is my name.
That's my name.
Or it's like, you can't name an Irish guy Seamus Finnegan. It's like, why not? That's an Irish name.
That's an Irish name. Dude, Pavarti Patel? I think I know five of them.
Yeah. I knew a girl named Yasmin Patel. That was her.
Patel is the most common. The Harry Potter was supposed to be a very common name. Like it was supposed to be a very neutral and common name.
The other thing I just thought about this is I wasn't intending to be a Harry Potter podcast. We have other things to talk about, but he becomes a wizard and he's instantly befriended by the big Catholic wizard family. You know, like, come on, there's some good there.
There's some good there. Ron, the Weasley family is definitely based.
The Weasleys are based, for sure based. Because the dad, he works in the government, but he's like secretly like, not about this, you know?
I hate this, yeah.
I hate this. He has respect for the Muggles. He's like one of the only people who's like interested and cares about them, you know?
I think Arthur Weasley is the original Sigma male.
Good point.
Yeah.
Sticking out your gyat for the Weasley.
Sticking out your Ron for the Weasley.
Sticking out your Ron for the Weasley is funny. Did you see my tweet, Hogwarts Tua?
I hate you. I need you to stop talking. Dude, your Hawk Tua tweets are so funny. I saw someone perfectly encapsulate. He's like, Hawk Tua is so unfunny, it's not funny ironically, that it is funny ironically. Does that
Correct.
Make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I've had a couple good ones. I really liked Hawk Tua Hogwarts Tua of Rizcraft and Skibbity.
There's too many layers there. Hogwarts Tua of Rizcraft and Skibbity.
That's where I go to school, bro. That's where you can find me there. You grew up in the school of Hard Knocks.
So, all right. Speaking of kids, Generation Alpha ends in 2023. So kids born 2023 and before are Gen Alpha. And then kids born 2024 and after are Gen Beta. So that's bad news.
Bad news
for Josie, I know.
Okay, so Josie and Henry are going to be...
They're going to be betas.
They're going to be betas, but Peter and Leo are alphas.
But I think ironically, the coolness skips a generation. Like boomers cringe, Gen X cool, zoomers, cool, millennials cringe. And so I think Gen Alpha is going to be cringe and the Gen Betas are ironically going to be awesome.
Wait, what? Are we cringe? Are we the baddies?
No. We're zoomers.
We're zoomers.
We've adopted that. Yeah. We were millennials until the end of college. We saw that boasting and we were like, we're with these idiots over here.
Yeah. May God strike me down if I'm not a zoomer right now. Just kill me.
Just kill me. Please. The 2016 election happened. We saw our peers wearing Hillary Clinton shirts and we were like, that's not happening. I'm going to go deep fry some Tide Pods. This is who I am. This is better. Anyway.
Mm. Well, it's the good stuff. It's the good stuff. Anyway, man, there's a lot that we could dive into. A lot has happened. A lot has changed. What? I've changed personally and professionally.
In these uncertain, apparently I have aura now.
Check, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers, and we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career. Because I was the youngest person on staff, I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work in a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of the stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes care of all of that for you.
I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first three people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first three people, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a form, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
Thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye. You have aura just because you're wearing sneakers.
I'm wearing a t-shirt. Oh, yeah, I got white sneakers.
Yeah, you're wearing white sneakers, which kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
You got the gold chain on?
That's always been there. But they look, I know, but the white sneakers look nice, you know?
Yeah.
I just didn't know what just generic sneakers were, and I found out on the internet that white sneakers are just the generic, like, they look good with everything sneaker.
Yes. I bought Blucher moccasins.
Sorry? What does that mean?
It's okay. They're shoes. Leather shoes.
I figured. What do they do? Are they like your driving moccasins?
No, I have driving loafers. Thank you very much. They're a step down from the loafer and a step up from a boot shoe or a camp mock. So it's kind of like you could wear it with shorts, which I have done. You could also wear it with pant. You can wear it in winter. It's a good winter shoe with a nice chino or a corduroy pant. Or you could wear it in summer with
shorts. What do you think about this? We should become a menswear podcast.
I think just with no warning. Just start. Is there, from now on out.
Are there menswear podcasts? I feel like that medium would not.
But we have to record all of them from a men's warehouse.
Dude, I went to a men. Don't go to men's warehouse.
We have to go into one of those rooms in the back where they make you try on the tux, and it's like the same shirt that 55 other guys have tried on that day. And but we record a podcast back there.
Feel it?
Yeah. You know? It's like it's slightly yellow. You're like, what am I doing?
Why am I here, man?
There's a guy named Julio draping a tape measure across your neck. He smells good. He's dressed well.
Did I tell you about the guy at my men's warehouse?
No, probably not.
He was the one who was talking about how all you need to do to get on a plane is all you need to do to get first class on a plane is wear a suit.
Cap.
He was saying, dude, no, seriously, it happens to me all the time. Like, I got a first class seat. That's because I'm wearing a suit. And I was like, dude, I don't want to be that guy, but I think he was disabled. So, like, I think it's because you're disabled.
Are you serious?
I don't think it's
was
the
he
suit,
like,
dude.
Was he? Did he have like autism or something, or was he like?
No.
Was he like in a wheelchair?
No, he was like he had crutches.
He had crutches. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but he was like super mobile with the crutches. Like you know, people with those disabilities, they're like
oh, they can,
wizards with their.
They can, yeah, they can whip it around town.
You
no
know,
problem.
Like he's probably more dangerous than I am on the dance floor.
I don't know why you had to add it on the dance floor.
I don't know either. It felt right though. You know,
just a mean thing to say. But this guy's better dancer than me. I could take him in any other situation, though. I could absolutely level this guy.
No, I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket. Come on. Anyway. But yeah, I was like, I don't think because I'm sure he forgets that people view him and are like, oh, that's a disabled man.
Right.
He's like, I'm just a dude in a sick suit.
Yeah.
That works at a men's warehouse.
In that situation, for that particular guy, and I'm talking about one person here, mm-hmm. I think maybe we've gone too far as a society, right? Like, I'm all for acceptance, tolerance. You got to love people for who they are. But if a guy thinks that he's getting first class because of his suit and not because of his crutches, it's because we've made it too easy for him, you know? Get rid of the ramps, put the stairs back in. You know, like make him remember. just that guy. I cannot be more clear. I'm just talking about this guy.
This specific guy. I am a fan personally through the Crunch Catholic Podcast officially endorses the American Disabilities Act.
Yes. All right? 100%.
And the Civil Rights Act and all other acts of Congress. Yeah.
We just got an email from Tan Books saying they want to sponsor us. So maybe we should.
Yeah.
We should cease this line of questioning. We should do that. I'm going to respond to their email tomorrow. We need to talk about it. Do you see the clip from Shane Gillis on Kill Tony? There was a guy came up, did comedy, whatever. And Tony is like, I couldn't hear your set because Shane kept leaning over every 4 seconds asking me what you have. And the guy very clearly has Down syndrome or something, right? It's so Shane's like, as a guy who gets this all the time, do you have Down syndrome? And the guy's like, I really like grilled cheese and hot dogs. And Shane's like, shout out hot dogs. It's just was such a funny interaction where the guy very clearly has something and Shane's like, respect to the hot dogs. It's just the most electric clip. Ryan, put
it
in.
As a guy who gets this all the time.
Yes. Anyway, just made me think about that.
Can you have Down syndrome? Can you have moderate Down syndrome?
Oh, yes. Certainly. Oh, there's really? Degrees to it, for sure. Yeah, like you see the people, like there's people who have Down syndrome that are like non-verbal, and then there's people who have Down syndrome that are like getting their, that are like becoming lawyers. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, there's definitely a range of how much it can affect you.
Or is the Down syndrome is the Down syndrome like one thing and the nonverbal thing is a separate thing?
It could be a combination. It could be a combination of things. You could have the Down syndrome and also something else. But as far as I know, but maybe I'm wrong. But my understanding is that
we could get
Dell on the podcast. I could have had her on the pod last week when I had no one on. And I chose to be selfish.
You could have talked to her about her professional opinion about vaccines and their relationship to autism. I'm just kidding.
You're not.
My mom is like the most level-headed person ever.
Yeah.
And we were and she was like, "Oh yeah, like
vaccines cause autism."
Oh no.
That's so funny.
It wasn't like a conspiracy, like because she works with autistic kids all the time, and she was like, "I don't know about this." Anyway.
I firmly believe that my seasonal allergies are because of vaccines when I was a kid.
Really?
I've thought about this. I have no evidence to back it up, so nobody tag me. I'm just pontificating. But I've always thought how stupid it is. Like, I go outside some days in the spring or in the fall, and I can't operate. Like, I can't. Like, as soon as I step outside, I'm sneezing. My eyes get all puffy and swollen. Like, I can't do anything. And I'm like, if I existed like 300 years ago, I would be useless. Like, I could not be like 98% of the world was agricultural or whatever. It's like, there's no way I would have been one of the 2% that was like a city merchant or something. Like, I just wouldn't have been that. I would have been a farm guy somewhere. And so the fact that I'm allergic to the outside is like, I like would have had to become a monk probably and like live inside of a stone. But even then you have to do. Anyway, so it's just, so I just don't believe there's no way that humans had, and you don't read about it. You read these books from the old history and it's like, and I had allergies that year, you know, like nobody writes. Yeah. Shakespeare wasn't like, and I've got the sniffles, you know, he was dying of E. coli or whatever from the poop in the streets. But, in London. London was a very dirty city during the time of Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. And still is.
It is still. Yeah, but not because of Queen Elizabeth. Yeah.
Because of all the debauchery.
Because of the debauchery. King Charles.
Yeah. I have a question. What do you think the new Babylon is?
The new Babylon?
Yeah.
Was that a video game?
No, did you read my thread about it?
No. Never mind.
I had a thread that sparked.
Set up more of the context of the question, and then ask me the question again, and I'll have a better answer.
Okay. The St. Bonaventure has these six ages of the Bible, and he makes them correspond to like the ages of church history.
Children's Bible, like, teen Bible, young adult Bible.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. So you can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. We'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later.
It's like the seven ages of the Old Testament and then the seven ages of the New Testament, which, because Revelation is the end of time, includes today. Like, so today is part of the New Testament. Right. And so he has the seven ages of the Old Testament. Most people do the seven ages of the Bible, and it's like the sixth age is Christ and the seventh age is the coming of Christ. That's Augustine. But
right.
Bonaventure, it's like seven in the Old Testament, seven in the New, and they correspond to each other. So like the age of Adam corresponds to the age of Christ. The age of the flood corresponds to the persecution of the Christians. The age of Abraham corresponds to the age of the fathers. Like it all like it corresponds. Now he was like, I think that he lived in the height of Christendom. And so he said that corresponds to King David. And he's like, so there's probably an exile coming.
Yeah.
And then the Protestant Reformation happened like 250 years later. Started with a book called The Babylonian Captivity of the Church. And so I've always had this little thing in the back of my head where I'm like, ooh, I think we might be in the sixth age of salvation history.
Are we still in the exile? Or is there another one?
So I was thinking about this because in the Babylonian exile, it's a very long time, right? It's about 500 years.
Yeah.
And that's when the return to Jerusalem starts happening. But the time period of the Babylonian exile was Israel did not know, the standard people did not know that much about the faith. And the period of the Babylonian exile was a period of prophets being raised up to teach the people. And you see from the Protestant Reformation to today, an increase in catechesis, starting with the Council of Trent to today.
Yes.
And so a lot of people are like, oh, the Babylonian exile. Some people replied to my threads like, we're not being persecuted right now. And it's like, actually, they weren't being persecuted during the exile. They were just living among the pagans and they were being tempted to become pagans. And I think that's where we live now. So the next step is a pagan empire like that. What happened in the now, I'm not going to say this is definitely what's going to happen, but
well,
I think what happens in the Bible is one of the pagan emperors allows a group to return to Jerusalem to rebuild.
What is this? Is this Ramses the second? What's his name? Hold on. Don't tell me. Damascus.
Ramses the second. Damascus the first.
It's Darius, right?
Darius. Yeah.
No, Darius. Don't get out here with your freaking master's degree. Darius.
Yeah, so. But it's like there's four empires, right? There's Babylon, and there's Medo-Persia, and then the Persians are the ones who allow them to go back. They get conquered by the Greeks again. And so I basically, like, my thought process is this, right?
Yeah.
Is what stage of the Babylonian exile are we in? Are we in, like, Babylon was defeated and the Medo-Persians have come and then the Greeks came? Like, was the desolate, like, the, was the comparable, like, the Greek empire, is that comparable to, is that comparable to Napoleon? Is it comparable to World War II? Like, where are we? You know, that's, I don't know. So I encourage you guys to all go read that period of salvation history and be like, oh, that's kind of like this. And that's kind of like this. It's happened in the last 500 years. So I'm curious to know what you think. Because Bonaventure is all about, like, reading the past to learn about our present, to know what we're supposed to be doing in the present, not about the future.
Those who do not understand history are doomed to repeat it.
We're all doomed to repeat it. That's kind of his main point. It's like we're repeating it right now. But anyway, I think it bodes well for people who are talking about Christendom and the Middle Ages and going like, man, I wish things were like that, because that's what Israel was doing during the exile.
Would that we had a king.
No, that
can I have a king again? Can I have
king?
Can I have King David?
I don't know. My main takeaway from it was, like, it's okay for us to yearn for Jerusalem. Like, it's okay for us to wish that things were the way it was back then, but to look forward to the rebuilding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the rebuilding is like a rebuilding of an earthly Christendom, and then after that Jesus comes. Or maybe the seventh day is Jesus coming, and we're a lot closer to that than we think. I don't know.
I know someone, a priest friend of mine, thinks that it's going to be thousands of years still before Christ returns.
So, I would bet that, because the captivity lasted a really long time, but then from the end of the captivity to Christ coming, I think that Christ coming during the seventh age doesn't make much sense, because Christ didn't come during the seventh age of the Old Testament. Like, there was a period of return after the Babylonian exile,
yes,
before Christ became man, you know?
Yeah. That doesn't mean no man knows the day or the hour. We could have it all backwards, but, so he could come to tomorrow. So go to confession. But, I think that America is the new Jerusalem. And I think that Donald Trump is the new high priest, personally. And you can disagree with me.
A lot of people were talking about him, like Cyrus. I think it was Cyrus the Great that allowed.
Oh, Cyrus!
Yeah,
not Darius.
Mm-hmm.
Cyrus, yeah.
Cyprus. But the thing is, like, the Babylonians were not very religious freedom people. Like, they were not, but the Medo-Persians were like, go ahead, do what you want.
Are the Persians that just lived in a meadow?
Medes, the Medes, the Medes,
like the Medes and the Elamites.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is America the new Rome?
America,
new pagan Rome. Who knows?
Orange is the new black.
Correct.
I've got that going on. So. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's hard. It's hard to make any predictions on this grand of a scale, because it's such like a. It's also very Western focused, you know.
Yeah.
Like China's got to be involved somehow.
Well, it was funny because someone replied. They were like, I mean, we're not being persecuted. Like it was someone said, it's not the Babylonian exile because people aren't being persecuted. We aren't being persecuted like the people in the Middle East and in China. And I was like, that's a good point. But the church is being persecuted, for example, in the Middle East and in China.
it was interesting.
It was funny because the guy's response was like, oh, we're not in a period of persecution because we're not being persecuted like the people being persecuted over there. It was funny.
I wonder, salvation history is interesting because it obviously focuses only on kind of the story of God's people throughout the Old Testament, and then very concretely the story of Christ, and then Peter and Paul after his death, and then it's Revelation, right? There's a big gap between, you know, whatever, John's letters and Revelation. But the parallels that Bonaventure draws are pretty all Western Christian centric, in the same way that the Old Testament is very just Jewish Israel centric. It kind of makes me think that I'm saying this very crudely. I know it's not true, but just God doesn't care about history in other places, you know? Like, he doesn't care about the history of non-Christian peoples because it doesn't matter in some sense. Like, it matters,
yeah,
but only insofar as Christianity is brought to that place, not so much, like, what happens outside of that. Because there's not really any world-defining, like the Ming and the Qing dynasty, you know, fourth deadliest event in history. But it's like, did it affect anybody outside of China? I'm so ignorant on this topic. I don't know if I'm right or not. But it's like,
it probably did in some abstract way.
Right.
Like, because of the Ming and Qing dynasty
trade.
You know, yeah, I don't know.
But then you compare that to something like the Napoleonic Wars, and it's like very obviously like this had global implications, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It feels Europe.
Right. It feels weird to say that, like, all the stuff that happened to white people is the stuff that matters. But
I think
it's very interesting.
The Roman Empire was by no means European. Like, it was by no means European. It was Mediterranean. Like, the only reason why we think about it as European is because Italy is in Europe. Yeah. But
where are the Romans?
Roman
now?
Empire.
You're staring at him, asshole.
Bonaventure compares the conquering of the Holy Land to the conversion of the pagans of Europe. It's really interesting. He's like, oh yeah, the division of the lands was when we went out into Europe and we divided the countries among Christian peoples. Like, he's very Eurocentric, but like, yeah. Europe is much like Israel. It's the smallest continent, just a little, but it affected the entire world. And I think now it's losing favor, like,
right,
with God, just like Israel.
Do you think God is shifting his favor to somewhere more in line with what he wants? Maybe, say, the state of Oklahoma? It is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication in my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right-wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmos Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had, because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmos. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed, because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmos, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmos, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmos.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see, the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them The Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update some. I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that The Crunch sent you. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them The Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of the crunch.
I think that the church is the main character of history, and as the church becomes more truly global, it becomes more truly global. Like, it becomes less geographically focused.
That's a really good point. But it just brings about a whole new set of challenges. Man, I thought we were going to talk about abortion today. We talk about the Bonaventure instead, which is fine.
I think, and because it becomes more global and focused, the empire becomes more global, and the really only truly global empire is America.
Dude, I really got to read this book, dude.
Napoleon, A Life.
Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at that. Try pretending like that face doesn't control history. Men will literally live like this and not see a problem.
I think you got to refocus your camera, dude.
No, I'm going to stay like this.
This is how I stay. The Napoleon mindset. It's my grind set book.
Once I finish the book that I'm reading about, a book that was written in 1996 that coined the term metaverse and avatar for digital technology. Sweet. By the way, this book is very interesting. You'd like it. It's boring in some parts, but this author ties in.
You'd like it.
You'd like it. It's boring. the main character's name is literally hero protagonist. Pisses me off, dude.
That's so wrong, funny.
This Cho Chang ass name.
Mario Spaghetti.
Mario Spaghetti. But he ties in all of these ancient Sumerian creation myths and the Tower of Babel. And he ties in like the dispersion of language and the way that computers are programmed with how the human brain works and how we are religious creatures. Mm-hmm. It fails in some regard because he obviously has read more Sumerian myths than he's read like human psychology or like Christian spirituality. So it's just kind of this like empty, like, oh, this thing that this God did in this story is like how we program computers to do this. And it's like, all right, I guess, you know, it's fine.
That's like how liberal professors try to like go to African empires and be like, see, yeah, they built a sailboat too. And it's like, I don't care.
Right. It's like,
that's to your point about history not mattering outside of the Mediterranean Sea.
it's like, oh, and this God, his ejaculate became the rivers, right? And that's like the code in our computers. And it's like, what are you talking about, dude?
I felt the part
where the guy uses his katanas to cut a dude's head off. That's the cool part of the story.
That's the cool part that I want.
You don't understand which part of the story is cool. Anyway,
yeah, the only mythology that matters is Roman and Greek mythology. That's just correct, and then that's it. You don't need to actually learn about any other gods. They're all weird.
Yeah,
imagine, Roman and Greek gods are at least cool. You know,
ladies, if you're dating a guy, this is a segue into the dating corner. If you're dating a guy and he has a book on Sumerian creation myths, just dump him.
Seriously, he's gonna weird stuff. Like our birth class for Leo. They mm-hmm. talked about like the hero's, they did like a hero's journey-esque thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going, where I'm going with this? With a Babylonian goddess named Ishtar. And I was like, this is,
oh, dumb. He talked about Ishtar in the book. Yeah. I heard all about Ishtar.
And I was like,
that's weird.
This is dumb and silly. This has no bearing. It's like, instead of going, people are like, oh, the reason why they do this is because, They don't want to, you know, they think we've gone to the well of Western culture too many times. They're like, we can't, that's overplayed. We got to go somewhere new.
Yeah, if we talk about God one too many times, people will get tired of it. The thing that people have literally been talking about ever since he came out.
I know. Ever since he dropped.
Ever since God dropped his first album.
But they don't understand that because we have no cultural tie to Ishtar and Mithras, there's like no reason for
you
us
might
to
as well be saying
there.
Like it's like, okay, so this is
when Iron Man came out of the, you know, it's like, who cares
when Red Among Us guy finally came in through the air vent.
He finally vented, and that's like your child. Your child is venting, and they are the imposter.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. No, it's not worth our time. Anyway, so let us know what age of history and what empire you think we're under.
If we can just be an Ascension Press video for one quick second, if I was to read the Old Testament for the period of time that you're discussing, which books would I be reading?
Oh shoot. The Babylonian exile takes place in the first and second Kings.
Chronicles.
So the exile happens in Kings. Chronicles is a repetition of first and second Kings. And so you want to read first or second Kings. I think it's in second Kings. And then the return is Ezra Nehemiah.
Yes. I've read Nehemiah. Nehemiah's lit. He's like, let me rebuild it. Let me rebuild Jerusalem. And the king's like, how many camels do you need? It's kind of a funny exchange.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
I love that.
Oh yeah, because they use it in the God Ask. He's like,
they use it
in
the God Ask.
Rebuilt. Yeah, rebuilt the temple.
Yeah, I remember that. I did my reading when I trained for fundraising. All right, we got to do the dating corner. So we got to end the show. Our sponsors this week include, but are not limited to, Patmos Hosting Solutions. Thank you to Patmos for not only hosting our website and providing a super smooth user experience, but also protecting us from big tech, who would likely cancel us for all of the jokes and the things that we said throughout this podcast about not only people with crutches, but also the Chinese. So we're just, thank you for Patmos Hosting Solutions. I would also like to thank Carmel Communications. Go to, is it consecrateamerica.com? That's the URL, right? Mm-hmm. Consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition for the bishops so that we can consecrate America to the Eucharist. And I think this is the last one for Exodus 90.
Yes, it is.
St. Michael's Lent is almost over. Granted, but you can still go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, get a free trial. 14 days. exodus90.com/thecrunch, now is the time. Am I missing anyone?
Briefcase marketing. Go to
briefcase marketing.
Yeah, we got to do an ad for him.
We got too many sponsors, man. We got to cut it back.
I had two sponsors today.
Did you really?
Dude, I did.
You and me, we need to have a business meeting, dude. I got some ideas.
Yeah, dude. We need to put a media kit together, actually, so that we can send
people. Someone asked us for a media kit, and I was like, I wanted to respond and be like, what kind of things do you normally get in a media kit?
Yeah, just so I know what to send
you. So that I know that you know what a media kit
have,
is.
I have so much media that I
so
don't
many media get. Kits.
It's all in kit form, but I want to know what you need.
We're so bad at this, dude.
I sell advertising professionally, and you would think I'd be better at this.
My job is to advertise, literally.
Dang, dude, how did we get the jobs we have?
Good looks, charm. That's it.
Aura.
Aura. One of us has aura.
It's not me.
Oh,
is it not you? It's me?
Well, say the nice thing you said about me in polos at the beginning.
Oh,
of
yeah.
The
I will say that on the dating corner because we got to end this episode.
All right, sounds good. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Ethan looks great in a polo, and I'll tell you why.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you, and we'll see you all next time. Bye.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.